Right.
And so, like,
I'm learning stuff on SysOp today. LearnSoc, everybody.
But I'd say if you're ever going to smoke and you're thinking about it, start with a fucking pork shoulder, dude. They're nice. They're easy.
Wow.
We woke up the dog.
That's the terrible way to start a podcast.
Yeah.
No, Kevin, your last clap, by the way, was really anemic, but I'm assuming it was noise cancellation. So what I need you to do is be like,
Don't do that.
I put my hands right into my microphone when I clap. So
Regardless, welcome to SysOp, everybody.
I'm Kyle.
I'm Kevin.
I'm Kendrick.
I'm Joe. That's the worst one we've done, gentlemen.
Kevin, what the hell's wrong with you?
I just listened to... I caught up on the episodes today, and you guys were like, whoa, why didn't anyone chat? So I was like, I'm going to do it as fast as I can this time, and I did.
Nice.
You did it before me?
Yeah.
He did. He snuck it in there.
I don't think so.
I'm going to accept it.
I mean, that's fine. We can accept it, but he's wrong.
It's been a couple weeks. We took a bit of
they didn't need to know that.
Well, now you know.
It's gone.
And knowing is half the battle. G.I.
that guy.
So what's new, everybody? What happened the last few weeks?
Well, I don't know. My bombshell is mostly work related, so I'm going to wait and hope to God somebody else has something better.
I had a bed bug infestation.
Kind of bombshell you
fucking
have
again.
Again? Why you get bed bugs so much?
The first one?
Yeah. What's wrong with you, dog?
I have
Is that like herpes where they live in you and then eventually they just come back out again?
I'm
Actually,
starting,
as I said that, I almost nauseated myself. That was disgusting.
I'm starting to wonder because this is the fourth infestation I have lived through.
Wait. 1, 2, 3, 4? 4?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and Joe has
bed bugs happening to you. What's going on?
Well, one, I'm very tasty. I get bit by fucking bugs all the goddamn time. But when I was growing up in Pagosa, we had like two separate infestations because they're very, very, very hard to kill. They're also fucking everywhere. And as we've learned,
they're good at staying alive.
Yeah, they're incredibly resilient. They're very adaptable. They're basically flat, so they can get into fucking anywhere. And you almost all of them. There's a huge male female subset of the species. There's not many males because they basically all they really need to kickstart egg laying is to drink blood. Like, it's fucking weird. There's a little more to it than that, but like...
They're basically better at being alive than we are.
Oh, yeah. Fantastic.
Which is why we invented fire.
Yeah. So, we had to leave for the weekend and deal with a whole bunch of shit. And we had a whole bunch of
fire.
Yeah, with the fire. We very, very, very much came close to discussing whether or not burning the house down in the long run was worth it. And we decided no. Nay, this is my home. But we found the next best thing, which is heat treatment, because pesticides they can get immune to. They're very resilient, like I said.
Also, that your loved ones and child aren't immune to pesticides on account of them killing them.
Yeah, yeah. But so what they did, and this is really cool, this is why I went with these guys. They brought in a bunch of equipment. And they heated up the entire house to 150 degrees.
Sweet.
And that...
Which is worth noting is like, above the temperature where bed bugs can live.
Yeah. They don't like it very hot. They're, according to the guy I was talking to, they're more of like a tropical species. They like those really cool environments. So, you know, in our air-conditioned houses, it's like perfect for them. But yeah, 150 degrees, that'll burn out the nests. That'll kill them over a small amount of time, and then you do it long enough and you'll just cook them inside the walls. And so when we came back, one of the sad parts was that it killed my ceiling fan and light in my room, our master bedroom. So I was looking at it, I was trying to poke around with it, see if I could fix it, right? I think it just got burned out from, you know, the whole house being fucking 150 degrees. I pulled off, like, the lamp part of it and pulled it down. Three fucking corpses in there. The bedbugs were in my ceiling fan.
Wow.
Shit.
Would never in a million years have thought through all of the sprayings that we did to try and mitigate it beforehand, before we called an exterminator, never would have thought to check my fucking lights and ceiling.
They're
fan.
Sneaky motherfuckers.
Yeah, fuck them. Damn. I hate them. Hate bedbugs. That's my hot take. How are you guys all doing?
That's not really a hot take. I think that might be a universality.
That's the bridge to world peace right there, is everybody needs to find their mutual agreement.
Everybody
that
comes together
bugs are
at an emergency meeting
awful.
Of an extended UN, and also people who aren't in the UN. Putin is there, Kim Jong-un is there, Trump is there, everybody's there, and they're all like, ladies and gentlemen, fucking bedbugs, am I right?
Yeah.
And world peace was achieved.
Yes.
But anyway, here's Wonderwall. And then it's really awkward when I don't know who was speaking, but they pull out a guitar and start playing Wonderwall. Please select your favorite statesman to start playing Wonderwall inexplicably at that time. I'm torn between Merkel and what's his name in charge of China?
Winnie the Pooh?
I don't know. If
That's
I
all I know.
Yes. Either one.
Winnie the Pooh. Winnie the Pooh is the right answer.
Winnie the Pooh's in charge of China right now?
Correct.
Yeah. Totally.
That's what you get for not following the news, I guess.
Well, oh bother.
anyway,
so what's
how about
next?
You guys?
We're in the middle of our tech summit right now at work, which is really awkward because normally the tech summit means getting all the engineers together to get drunk and realize that they don't really hate each other; they just hate sales. But
also a universal standing point.
Yeah, but we can't do that. What with the Rona, which is still in effect, as we're on VertSock number 40-something or 70-something. Christ only knows what we're up to. God, kill me now. But what that means is we're just like, we're doing three-hour blocks in 3 days in a row. And so I gave my talk today. And tomorrow I get to attend three talks, and the next day I get to attend three talks, and it would have been better if they hadn't like started it off with the whole like, by the way, you're not going to get any money this year. Go fuck yourself. So I don't know if I should say that. That might get me in trouble, but you know, whatever.
Yeah, no one's listening to this. That matters.
That's true. I guess. Hi, Mom.
As far as work-related
stuff.
Point
where I will casually drop in the conversation the number of days between now and when my retention bonus kicks and I leave. 463 days. So, that's where I'm at professionally.
Just hanging on. Hanging on to that retention.
Kevin, how are you doing, by the way? It sounds like a lot of your team might be leaving.
No, actually, I'm the first of my team that might be leaving.
What? Nice.
Not from Conga.
Not the company.
Yeah. No,
way
I'm
to be
gonna...
dramatic about it.
Yeah, I wanted to make a real big entrance.
Big energy.
I'm going to go over to the internal team.
Nice.
Oh, nice.
The one I guess I should say that team that you're eyeing is the one that is now empty.
Yeah
that's,
there's
lots
that's
of people left.
One person that I know of on that team.
Joe, Crickets,
Rick
go.
And Eli. You know both Rick and Eli.
Yeah, you know Rick and Eli.
Oh, that's right. Eli's on the Eternal team.
Rick is still alive? Rick. Oh, shit. Okay.
Yeah, Rick.
Don't say his name. I gotta edit
bleep
it out now.
That shit
reason.
Out.
Oh,
bleep
shit.
But don't ask inquisitively what Rick I'm thinking about if you don't
I didn't say. I didn't ask which Rick. I asked if he was still alive. I know which Rick. There's only the one Rick. And it's Rick Astley. Because we're no strangers to love. You know the rules. And so do
so
I.
So do I.
But a full commitment is what I'm thinking of, and you wouldn't get this from any other guy.
No, I'm gonna take a break from the old services gig and just try to focus on one.
One client? Good fucking
one,
luck.
One client.
Yeah, the client is us, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're like the worst one.
We really are bad.
I don't know. You guys have been out of that for a long time. There's a lot of terrible clients.
but I've also worked with us for a while, so. this is weird. I feel like this is becoming a work cast.
And I don't... Yeah, why do you have to start talking about work?
That's what this is about.
It's my life. And it's now or never. And I don't want to live.
Oh my god, you're going to get us copyright struck with all this bullshit.
No!
That's not how it works. We're not on YouTube. That's not. It doesn't. That isn't. That isn't. That's not. It doesn't. That isn't.
So
not.
I smoked a pork butt yesterday?
Hell yeah.
I was going to do it on Sunday, but.
Ironically, not
switch.
Part of the
I
butt.
Love it.
No, it's the shoulder, it turns
yeah.
out.
Yeah.
But I took a page out of the. Kevin's guide of doing stuff, which is don't worry about it, bro. Everything will turn out all right.
Dude, you should always take that page from Kevin's guide
hashtag
of doing stuff. That is a great
smoking.
That's a great attitude to have if you're white.
So what I did instead this time is I didn't really mess with the temperature too much. I just worried about certain types of there's like various tests you can do while you're smoking meat to figure out if the meat is done.
Like a HIV test or
yeah HIV you have the AFib
like
blood
a calculus test.
Mm-hmm. No, oh, that one it doesn't have thumbs, so it can't take a calculus test. Usually what they say is if it has a bone, if the pork has a bone in it, you can jiggle the bone and see how loose it is, or you can use a fork and turn it. So I use the fork test.
So you used you wanted to fork it to figure out its boning.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good, Karen.
I fucked it. We're demonetized.
Kyle had sex with them.
Anyways,
yeah, I got it.
It tasted amazing. That was the point.
It did taste pretty good, and I'll say, unlike brisket, pork shoulder is really forgiving, and you can fuck it up, and it's still good.
It's got a broad band where it's still fucking delicious. Asterisk.
And I will say this too about pork, like when you smoke it, is if you make sure to let it hit like 170 or so, and then the fat turns and like it decollagenizes or whatever, collagenizes. It turns into like juicy goodness.
It gelatinizes.
Of, like, weird fat that you get on a steak, you know, when they don't cook it quite right.
Yeah, but that's when it tastes collagen.
And then, so like, if you do that, you don't have to defat it as much, which is really nice, because the thing with brisket I didn't like was that every once in a while you just get a piece of brisket that's like 50% just
chewy fat.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. So the whole point with that was that you're trying to render the fat, right? So you're converting the collagen to gelatin.
You're right? Telling me or asking me?
I mean, I thought I was saying it, but then it went quiet, and I was like, shit, did I forget my chemistry?
The whole idea is that you make it into something that's like far more enjoyable to
well,
eat.
If you convert collagen, which is tough and chewy, into gelatin, which yields to one's teeth, that gives you that sense of juiciness, because you're not like making jello, but you're converting it to gelatin interspersed throughout, and that gives that nice, like, yielding but still toothsome quality.
Yeah. Right. There's this weird kind of thing that happens with smoking where you have to get it past that, what Kyle was talking about today, like about the stall,
mm-hmm.
where it actually, it doesn't seem like it, but it continues to break down the meat further and further and further.
Yeah, the moisture evaporation is countering the temperature rise of the meat, because the heat, the air heating it and the moisture evaporation are causing no temperature changes, but it's still cooking.
Right.
Is that because you're hitting 220 degrees or whatever, and so you're seeing more energy going to state change instead of temperature increase?
Something like that. It stalls. Yeah. Usually meat stalls between like 148 and 167 or something like that. Like
Fahrenheit? I mean, it's got
yeah,
to be
Fahrenheit.
Warmer.
Yeah.
Yep.
So like what'll happen there is like right you'll have your like quick temperature changes at the beginning, where like in the first hour or two you'll pump up to like 130. From like 60 or whatever you set it at, you know, depending on how you prepared it. And then 4 or 5 hours of your smoke will be like you just slow rising from like 150 to like your 170 temperature. And that's like that gelatinization, that phase is like right after 170. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Well, the whole idea is that like you can smoke it for 12 to 15 hours if you want. Depending on the size of the meat, and that can take you past the stall, because you just push right through it, right? You just wait, right? And it's done after it's done when it's done. You can also increase the heat, which is kind of what I did towards the end of the stall. I increased it to about 275, which is as hot as my smoker will get. And that pushes it past the stall faster, but can cause, you know, various other things to happen.
So,
or you can do the Texas crutch, which is wrapping foil.
Texas crutch, nice.
Mm-hmm. That's what they call it. I didn't get it till I was like, oh, because it helps you pass the stall. I get it. Yep. Okay.
So the stall is throwing me right now, and I'm struggling because not from a culinary standpoint, but from a chemistry standpoint, I feel like that feels like a state change situation.
That could right? be. Like, that could be. But there tends to be this point in time when you're smoking something at an incredibly low temperature to like slowly get it where it needs to be, where it'll, like Kyle said, it stalls out, and it's like the temperature's rising all day long, but then suddenly it just hits a point where it just it won't get past that temperature very fast, and it's going very, very slow.
So as the temperature of the cold meat rises, the evaporation rate increases until the cooling effect balances the heat input.
So it's not state change.
Yeah. They were talking about state change stuff, but you can still see fat coming out. So like,
right? No. So it's not state change so much as it is evaporation, like sweating, because it's sweating and that's causing the temperature. Okay, that makes so much sense, because then it's just that sublimation of the temperature coming off, like the moisture coming off, is what's causing the
It's like it balances it out until there's see that's the thing too, is like you don't want it doesn't you're like trying to like replace the moisture too. So like I put usually like water and apple cider vinegar, or like apple juice and water and apple cider vinegar in the moisture tray. Mm-hmm. So like you can still have like a little bit of moisture in it, and that helps keep the temperature more steady.
Right, it helps keep track of it because you get a little bit of that buffer.
Yeah.
Right.
And so like
I'm learning stuff on SitSock today. LearnSock, everybody.
But I'd say if you're ever gonna smoke and you're thinking about it, start with a fucking pork shoulder, dude. They're nice, they're easy. Pulled pork can go on anything and with anything. That's the other thing I made today. I'll tell you about that. We got a little time. So it goes on anything. It can go for breakfast, lunch, dinner, it doesn't matter. You can eat pulled pork whenever. Reheating it's pretty easy, especially if you pre-pull it. You can just put it in some like juice, like either save the juice or make your own new juice and just put it in the oven for like 20 minutes.
Save the juice.
So what I did today is I made mac and cheese, and I was looking at how to make it. You know, obviously we've had these conversations on SitSock before, but the stuff I made today was pretty good. So I was watching the Babish videos on it because I saw one. That's what inspired it all. And the J. Kinsey Lopez method of mac and cheese is cook the – so pasta, fill the basin or whatever you're cooking in with like just so the pasta is underneath the water, like just so it's underneath, right? And it's cold water. Then you basically take it from cold all the way up by cooking it, and then until the pasta is done and most of the water is gone, you pour in 6 ounces or a can of condensed milk. Make sure that gives a little boil, let the bubbles start forming. Then you throw in shredded cheese. And so what the condensed milk does is I don't know why, but it's the same. Yeah, it's a great emulsifier. And it's the exact same as American cheese, because you can do the same thing with American cheese. But the problem is that depending on if you don't have the chemical, I can't remember the name of it. Sodium citrate. Okay.
Yep.
You have to use something that has it in it. And it never has enough to make all of the non-sodium citrate cheese.
Right.
Not like
or
solidify.
You have to find one of the other emulsifiers.
Yeah, which is condensed milk. So if you're ever trying to make a cheese sauce or something, and you don't want to like try to look for American cheese, and you want to put in your own cheeses, like you want to just mix like your own massive thing of cheese with like Goudas and Munsters and whatever, condensed milk is like
condensed milk because I think it's something to do with the protein. Right?
I use evaporated milk, but they're kind of similar enough that condensed milk can be sweet.
Don't get the sweetened.
Yeah, don't get the sweet ones.
Milk. It's something that's, about when you reduce milk down. So evaporated and condensed milk both use this process where they're boiled in a vacuum, which causes them not to burn, but it causes the evaporation of the water to happen at a much lower temperature, because when you reduce the vacuum... Kendrick, put up a triple point slide now. Bam!
When the pressure goes away, the water leaves, basically.
And so you can pull all the moisture out of something and without burning it, right? And so when you do that, I think it's to do with the protein content, and I don't want to do the research later, so I'm not going to try and ask future Kendrick to do it, but there's a trick where that substance becomes an emulsifier, because it allows basically the protein binds to oil on one side and water on the other. Mm-hmm. And that's the emulsification.
It's so, like it's hydrophilic, hydrophobic interaction stuff.
Exactly.
Basic, yeah.
So those are the fancy science words.
Yeah. So basically, condensed milk can make some of the creamiest mac and cheese you will ever eat. And I highly suggest trying to make mac and cheese with condensed milk, especially if you like having a real cheese flavor. You can basically take a block of cheese. Don't use shredded cheese. And this isn't me just being a hipster. It actually has like waxes and starches on the outside of it when it's shredded.
Oh my god, Kyle, did we finally convert you to not use pre-shredded cheese?
No, I use it for things. I like it for quesadillas and like on French fries.
That was a different conga lunch discussion, but yeah, that was where you guys were going.
But for this purpose, and actually, I used shredded cheese before, but it was Talamook shredded cheese, so it was a little different. But anyway.
No, I completely agree. You got to steer clear of the pre-shredded because the anti-caking agents will interfere with your ability to make an emulsification.
Yes, if you're trying to emulsify your cheese, don't use shredded cheese.
And you don't need to shred it. You can just dice it. Yep. You can chop it real fine. There are plenty of ways to do it. You don't need to do it. So,
but two secret ingredients for mac and cheese before we get off, unless we want to keep going.
Go ahead.
Dijon mustard,
yes.
Cayenne pepper.
Dijon mustard also is an emulsifier.
But you don't want to make your entire emulsification with Dijon mustard.
No. But it actually helps. There's something about mustard seed and that actually works as an emulsifier. And it's like one of those little tricks you do. You throw a little bit of mustard seed and it helps the emulsification on your more stubborn cheeses.
Interesting. I put it in at the end because there was so much condensed milk in it. It was for flavor. Yeah, because go ahead.
No, I was going to say stubborn cheeses sounds like a good place to end a podcast. That's just me.
That is a good place. Yeah.
Dijon mustard isn't as weird in mac and cheese as you think it is, and you should 100% try it. Cayenne pepper also adds a lot of flavor. The thing you run into with mac and cheese is like that you have a bunch of cheese and a bunch of pasta, and it's fucking bland as shit. And the one thing that you don't like you can add to it is just cayenne pepper. You can do that with anything. So don't be afraid.
Hooray.
Agreed.
Don't let your dreams continue
the smoking discussion later. I have a lot of points to make too.
We'll have this working around too because we're at time. So
we're at everybody, time. So we got to bail.
Like, bye, comment, everyone. And subscribe. I love you. I love these guys. These guys love you. By extension, we all love everybody, and it's probably sticky.
Sounds like a bad Beatles song.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird.
There are no bad Beatles songs, Kyle.
Every song's a bad Beatles song.
Oh.
There's a hot take.
Fuck. Shots fired. I have no idea where the ending is, so we're done now.
Goodbye.